Welcome to Take Notes, S&P Global Ratings Structured Finance Podcast and the credit event of your day. Tune in as your hosts, Jim Manzi and Tom Schopflocker, explore hot topics across the structured finance and global markets.
Hello and welcome to Take Notes. I'm your host, Tom Schopflocker. And with me in the studio is Ildi Selank, and dialing in from London is Matt Mitchell. Ildi and Matt recently wrote a paper called ESG Credit Factors in Structured Finance, and that's available on our website, spglobal.com/SF Research. Now, the concept of environmental, social, and governance, otherwise known as ESG, is becoming much talked about. You can't go to a conference these days without panels being dedicated to ESG and how it relates to various industries, including structured finance. But before we begin, let's clarify some terms. ESG has three components: environmental, social, and governance. But one also hears about green bonds. Are these the same thing? Ildi, could you give us a definition of what green evaluations are?
Sure, Tom, thank you. So green bonds basically refer to bonds that are issued to finance environmentally beneficial projects. Our green evaluation group is going to give a relative green impact score on these instruments based on a point in time assessment of the transparency and governance of proceed usage and management. They're going to look at the proceeds and evaluate what percent of those proceeds are used for green buildings, like LED and HVAC type of projects, green energy like renewable energy installations, solar, or water conservation. This is different from our ESG evaluation, which is a cross-sector relative analysis of an entity's capacity to operate successfully in the future. And here the focus is on how ESG factors could affect a company's stakeholders and also have a material, direct or indirect financial impact on the entity. For example, how the legal cost of non-compliance with greenhouse gas emissions or the R&D investments to comply with regulations will impact a company's income or operating margin. And our credit ratings are focused on credit risk and credit worthiness. It is a forward-looking opinion about the capacity and willingness of a borrower to meet its financial commitments, basically the timely payment of interest and ultimate payment of principal by legal final maturity date. So the green bond evaluation, the ESG evaluation, and our credit rating opinion are separate opinions.
So they're separate opinions, but can you give us some insight as to how they're related?
Sure. So if we believe that an ESG factor, which could include natural disasters, labor disputes, or internal controls for governance, if we believe that these ESG factors can influence an obligor's capacity and willingness to meet its financial commitments when due, then these factors become ESG credit factors. And if we believe that an ESG credit factor is material enough to pose direct risk or benefit to a transaction, then they can become key rating drivers in our analysis and could also change our ratings or outlook.
Does a strong ESG evaluation necessarily imply a strong credit rating?
No, not at all. So a strong green bond or ESG score does not necessarily indicate a strong credit worthiness. For example, we could view that the future value of electric vehicles is less predictable than diesel cars, which could result in lower recovery rate assumptions or higher residual value losses. The flip side of this would be diesel cars. If your auto ABS pool is fully reliant on diesel cars and there could be a ban or a taxing on diesel cars in certain European cities, it could certainly impact the payment flow into the trust. Another example would be consumer-friendly initiatives of loan forgiveness or a reduction in contractual payments, which could equally have a disruption in payments flowing into the transaction to pay the notes.
Thanks, Ildi. Green investing, socially responsible investing, this is not new. I think I mentioned on a prior podcast that one of the first mutual funds I ever bought was a green or socially responsible mutual fund. Is the area new in structured finance?
No, ESG factors have long been considered under our analytical framework. Typically, though, they're indirect exposures captured by other aspects of our analysis, and therefore they haven't been key rating drivers. Under our analytical framework for structured finance, there's five key pillars. These include the credit quality of the assets themselves, the payment structure and cash flow mechanics in the deal, the legal and regulatory risks, counterparty risk as well as operational risk. And it isn't until we believe that an ESG credit factor could impact the risk profile of any one of those pillars when it would then become relevant in our framework.
And of course, at S&P Global Ratings, we constantly survey the bonds that we rate, and there can be upgrades, there can be downgrades. How often do we see ESG-related rating actions in structured finance?
So we would initially incorporate any material and foreseeable ESG risks into our analysis when initially assigning ratings to a deal. That means that from a surveillance perspective, ratings are generally more susceptible to major ESG event-driven risks than kind of a longer-term sectoral risk. However, deals as well do have numerous structural features which could mitigate any ESG-related risks that arise. And these include available credit enhancement levels, transaction deleveraging, the short tenor of the structured securities, perhaps versus a longer-term ESG risk, as well as concentration limits for the collateral. So as a result of all this, even where there have been major ESG-related events, these credit factors haven't typically resulted in rating changes.
Thanks, Matt. Ildi, what is the main role of a rating agency with regard to ESG in structured finance?
Sure, Tom. Let me start by what we believe is not our role. We are not here to endorse one investment decision versus another. Investors have different ESG mandates and different investor risk appetites. But we do consider sustainable finance a very important driver in the capital markets, in which we can serve to provide transparent, comparable, and relevant information to socially and environmentally responsible investors. What we see as one of the biggest challenges in this sector is the lack of market consensus or capital market standard as to what green means. And so we love to partner in initiatives which foster consistency of data disclosure and reporting. Another thing that we can provide to the market is the institutional knowledge in some of these very technical sectors of ESG. We have experts in waste and water management and energy sectors for decades, and we certainly should leverage this type of knowledge in the market.
Ildi already gave some examples of risks in the automotive sector. Matt, could you give some ESG-related risks and mitigants associated with structured finance?
Sure. So going back to the five pillars of our rating framework, with respect to the credit quality of the assets and environmental factor, one thing that we saw unfold in 2017 was exposure of RMBS transactions to the hurricanes. And there we saw no rating action as there was diversification in the securitized pools, which meant that the exposure to properties in the affected counties didn't have a material impact on the creditworthiness of the deal. Thinking to other pillars of the analysis, from an operational risk perspective and perhaps social factors, either illegal collection practices could result in set-off risk, or also perhaps a high turnover of collection staff or labor dispute could result in a disruption of payments to the structured finance transaction. And we would consider this under our operational risk criteria as typically assuming a higher severity and portability risk assessment for lower credit quality obligors. Lastly, from a governance perspective and looking to counterparty risk assessment, structured finance transactions typically have a framework in place that could reduce or mitigate exposure to a counterparty if their creditworthiness were to deteriorate due to an ESG factor, such that they would be replaced in the deal.
Thanks, Matt. Again, you can learn more about this and other topics in their recent paper, ESG Credit Factors and Structured Finance, again, available on our website, spglobal.com/SF Research. I'd like to thank my guests, Ildi Zielonk and Matt Mitchell. Join us next time on Take Notes.
To subscribe to Take Notes or to view our analysts' research, go to spratings.com/structuredfinance. Thanks for listening to Take Notes with Jim Manzi and Tom Schopflocker.